You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I'm Joel Clayfish, along with my sidekick, the lady who travels the state, sticks her hand under rocks, hoping to catch 42-pound catfish, yes. Which is crazy,
you know.
Swings from branches of trees,
yes.
Trampolines into other countries.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Swims across the Amazon.
Well,
ladies
alligator.
And gentlemen, Danielle Fairman. What's up, Dean?
Hot dog. That was, I have things to put on my to-do list now, I guess.
I'm not afraid you won't try any one of them. Of course.
Absolutely.
The fame acclaimed, worldwide, well-known French culinarian chef, Ellie Lawton, is with us.
I have a few things on my list now, too.
Yeah, let's go.
A few things to accomplish. Hey, listen. Food is that important to me. Okay?
It is. Mm-hmm. We all
it's
know
the best.
This.
And we know that at the end of the day, Raised in Wisco is a cooking show.
Yes. You did
all.
Not let us say it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That was
what
weird.
Is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
a cooking show.
A cooking show.
You know
today.
Everybody in the vehicle has seen that, too.
Okay,
it's a thing
good.
Now.
Well,
it's a thing now.
I can appreciate that because food is my favorite dish. And I can't tell you, we're going to go a little off track today. We're going outside of the box. We're going off the walls because ooh. I am so excited about our guest today. Our guest and I have been friends for more than 30 years.
I hate that you did the math.
My apologies.
Oh, it's painful.
Well, we
you know, like a day over 30.
We started out friends when she was 6 and yeah. I was 21 years old. This is a person.
Wait, what?
Well,
all right.
Friends.
And then after I did prison time.
Hey, I was trying to make the math
now?
Sound better.
What's happening?
This person, I'm going to give you some accolades of this. This person is an award-winning journalist. This person is one of the funniest people I know and one of the most influential in what the social culture of the state of Wisconsin. This person is so important. We're skipping Weekly Wiscos this week, guys.
Nice.
I'm not even
Makes
joking
sense.
About that. We're going to dedicate this show. And then you're going to wonder how the heck and why the heck she landed on Raised in Wisco this week. Annie Schwartz, award-winning journalist, novelist, chief cook and bottle washer of life, one of my dear friends for 3 decades, author of the book Monster, The True Story of the Jeffrey Dahmer Murders.
So excited.
Done.
And if you want to go take a look, please go on Facebook and watch us on Facebook Live because you can see her book right there and the wonderful author right next to us.
Yes.
Not to mention the heavily Photoshopped picture on the back of the author.
Oh,
yeah. You met
oh,
her.
I didn't get to see that.
Yeah,
it's identical.
Right. I ate her.
No.
There it is. An appropriate joke.
Wait,
for
did
the
you
doctor.
Say that you hate her or ate her? Because yeah. I'm like, we're about to have a weird culinary experience yeah. here, so that fits right in.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
So you may wonder, how does Annie Schwartz, the person who broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story, literally broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story when it happened. In fact, we're going to probably go through some old memories here because Annie Schwartz took me as an intern at WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee to the Jeffrey Dahmer trial.
That's no,
right.
So cool.
She did.
What?
Jeffrey Dahmer was 6 to 10 feet away from us.
Why am I just learning this about you?
About me?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah. I feel like this is an awesome thing to tell.
A pretty fantastical life.
You
I can't
have.
Talk about all of it, but I am so excited. Annie Schwartz was a mentor to me an idol to any real journalist in the time of true journalism.
Stop it some more.
Annie Schwartz, I am so, but what's fascinating to me is at this stage in her career, she has started to grow an interest in hunting and eating from the outdoors. And that's
absolutely
why that is the segue to why Annie Schwartz is here. But I'm going to use that to get her to talk all about Jeffrey Dahmer and crime and murder. And then we're going to talk about food.
It's not that big a leap, Joel. You think of it, it's not that big a leap. I was a crime reporter.
Yes.
And then I worked for the police department. And then, you know, I mean, it all makes sense. And then in later life, I said, now I want to kill something.
Yeah.
And I
deserve it.
Right?
You killed it.
Yeah. My turn.
You do. You deserve it. And I also know you like to eat. You and I
more
have
than
always
life.
Loved to eat.
Yes.
I love that.
And
I was fat on TV before that women were saying, but I get to be fat on TV. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had plenty of that cake makeup on hand to dab my sweat when I was running around.
I hope you save that. You can tuck point the chimney with that if you held on to it. Yeah, good stuff.
I have no idea. I have no doubt that is true.
We might touch on some construction tonight, too.
You never could be anything.
Anything. Right?
I love
anything that.
That
happens in Wisconsin, raised in Wisco. Jacob, how are you in the fishbowl tonight?
Joel, I'm doing good here. Thank you for getting me involved in the program.
Are you kind of excited about tonight's topic and material?
I am excited. It's an exciting story. I just learned that you were only 8 feet away from Jeffrey Dahmer. Joel, you never told me that. Did he seem nice in person, or is he like he is on TV?
I think he seemed, he seemed creepy, I thought.
See, but because that's because you already had the information.
Yes,
the thing is, he was vanilla. He looked like everybody else.
He definitely did.
And that's why serial killers go as long as they do without getting caught, because they look like everybody else. If they look like Manson and they got the swastika carved in the head and they're like the crazy people eyes, it's like, oh, no, I don't think that, you know, she should maybe, you know, go over to his house. But Dahmer, it was like, what a nice guy.
Go.
Like,
I just want to take some pictures.
You probably
you got a dog?
Well, he worked for Ambrosia Chocolate. You know that.
If the person has a dog, Danielle's going in every time.
Oh, what kind of dog
Joel,
do you have?
Seen this. She
I've
just books it when she sees a dog.
I've been hunting with Danielle and watched her walk up to a ferocious dog.
Yes.
Thinking it's
asking
friendly.
If she can pet it.
I've only had one time where it was not friendly.
Okay.
A lot of serial killers, by the way, work with food.
Really?
They work in the food industry. There it is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I believe that.
I'm going to move my chair a little further away from Chef Lawton after
I agree.
Wait, I drove with her.
It's okay.
You have to not suspect her, because the deal is, it's not ever the person you suspect. If you say that guy's crazy, you just know he's, you know, got bodies buried in the basement. It's not that guy.
It's never that guy.
It's guy.
We all know that guy.
It's the guy in the corner.
We all know that guy.
No, it's like Noah the producing god, quiet, unassuming.
He's
quiet. He kept to himself. I just want to
take some pictures. That's just with the camera.
Okay. Well, Noah did just buy a new home.
That is true.
So what I'm hearing here is that if you do want to be a serial killer, you should dress like a murderous clown, because then obviously it couldn't be you.
No, that only worked for Gacy. That didn't work for everybody. But you don't get to want to be a serial killer. It just happens. You just, it's just who you are.
So Annie Schwartz, author of the book Monster, the True Story of the Jeffrey Dahmer Murders, is our guest today. And was talking about the fact that she is growing an interest in hunting and eating game from the field to the table. But really that we've got her here. This is quite an exciting exclusive for the show. And I want to say, Annie and I have had very parallel lives. We've known each other not only 30 years ago, we were both reporters at Channel 12. Then we both worked in Wisconsin politics. I was on the elected side. She worked for the attorney general and a state senator. And then she worked for the Milwaukee Police Department for several years. And now we are both kind of a little step away from politics doing media. And she wrote the book Monster. And one of the things that I think people find so fascinating, the insight you have, is into the philosophical approach of people who tend to become serial killers. And you mentioned it a minute ago about how it's not the people you suspect, it's the ones you don't, and that's how they get away with it. How was Jeffrey Dahmer, how did Jeffrey Dahmer fit into that mold of having so few close calls, and even the close calls he had never pinned him to anything?
But you know what, Joel? I hear so many people talk about the close calls, right? Oh, the police were this close to catching him and they didn't. That's because we think about those stories because we know the information now. And the thing is,
sure,
is
everything, hindsight's always 20/20.
Absolutely. You can't expect a couple of cops that encountered Jeffrey Dahmer outside an apartment in 1991 to know that he's going to kill the guy that you're helping back up to the apartment. Yes. That just, you can't go there. But Dahmer fit the mold you're talking about perfectly, because he blended. He wasn't the guy. He wasn't the weirdest guy in the room. And he wasn't the guy that everybody remembered. He was just kind of vanilla. I mean, I remember when I went to a lot of the gay bars following the revelations of Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment, talked to the bartenders, talked to patrons, asked them, hey, you know, what do you remember about this guy? And they would remember that kind of good-looking white guy named Jeff. But there, it wasn't like, oh my God, he was the coolest, most interesting person in the room. They're not. They don't do anything to call attention to themselves. And I was... You know, I don't have an affinity for the genre of serial killer, but when I got into the book and then I interviewed all the experts, it just became fascinating to me. The FBI estimates that at any one time in this country, there are at least 50, that's 50, serial killers operating in this country.
What?
Oh. Yeah. They also say that in any given week, you walk past 14 murderers and don't even know it. I'm like, where does Zach? Who does that research? Who does
and then stay on the corner. Excuse me, sir. Have you murdered anyone lately?
Who's keeping those stats?
Well, then there is a statistic that everybody commits three felonies in their lifetime and they never even know it.
Well, I'm behind.
Oh, yeah.
Are you behind or ahead?
Well, I'm behind.
Joel, convictions?
I think that is something that is fascinating, because how the mind of a serial killer works is just fascinating to everybody, because it's something we don't understand. The average person doesn't understand. We've got Annie Schwartz, the author of Monster, the true story of Jeffrey Dahmer murders. We're still going to have our cooking segment with Chef Lawton. Danielle Fairman and I are hosting This is a Wild Out of the Box edition of Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything about the great outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin. You can catch us on all Civic Media stations throughout the state, 21 of them, Saturdays at 11. But if you miss it live, there is still hope. Danielle
there is hope.
Fairman, how is there hope?
There is hope for you. You just need to go to Spotify and search for Raised in Wisco. You can also search for Apple. But you get to see our beautiful faces and the lovely book if you go on to Facebook and give us a like.
Yes, we have. We're blowing the show up this week. And I'm not.
We
I'm
are.
Not
I'm really
scared
excited.
Of it. I'm not scared of it. I'm perfectly fine with it. Danielle Fairman and I, your loyal hosts of Raised in Wisco, and our in-house culinary creator, Chef Ellie Lawton, is with us. And this week, we've got an extraordinary guest, an exclusive with the author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, Annie Schwartz. Annie Schwartz is not only an award-winning journalist, but worked for the Milwaukee Police Department, worked for the Wisconsin Legislature, worked for the Attorney General's office. Her accolades go on, and so does her resume.
You
get a little bit of an inside sneak peek of Annie Schwartz's life because we have been friends since we worked together back in the Channel 12 days. She wrote the monster book, Monster.
Yes.
It's a monster. And I was telling folks, I had the honor and privilege as a 21-year-old intern to attend the Jeffrey Dahmer trial with Annie Schwartz. I was 21 years old, and Annie Schwartz was a, were you a Cub reporter at that time? What was it?
Oh, no, I was whatever it's called after you grow out of being the Cub when you lose the cute stage. Cub was when I was still at the Milwaukee Journal and writing the book. After the book, it was television, and then I was a full-grown whatever it is when you eat your young.
I like that.
You had accomplished something that very, very few did. You broke the biggest story to honestly ever come out of the state of Wisconsin. Mm. I mean, we have Ed Gein. We've got the Packers. We've got the Brewers. But I don't think there is any story that has had the impact on the citizens of the state of Wisconsin like Jeffrey Dahmer has. And I want to know, if you don't mind sharing, how old were you at the time?
Oh, good gravy. Let's see. I think I was, when the story broke, I was 30.
Yeah, imagine that.
Now I'm 130. But it was a crazy thing because I didn't go looking for it. I was the young reporter. I was a Cub reporter. I was a young reporter who was working like the crappiest shift in the newsroom. I was the Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend cops reporter, 4 p.m. to midnight. Ooh. Which meant you had no life, not a problem, so I really wasn't doing that anyway. But I loved it. And I think that it's why, you know, you started the show out today by talking about how I've developed this interest in hunting lately. That's why you become a journalist, is because you're curious about everything.
Yes.
And when I first heard about the Dahmer story, I just wanted to know more. Mm. It really wasn't, any kind of a purient, interest. It was like, well, that's crazy. How does that happen? How do you grow up like that? Mm-hmm. What is that about?
And you actually had it there at your fingertips to go and investigate it.
Well,
because right now I'm 37 next month. I have no idea. If I had that kind of interest, I have no idea where I would go.
Well,
who is our Jeffrey Dahmer right now?
I was going to get to that.
There's the Gilgo Beach serial killer. So there's the Gilgo Beach serial killer, the guy out in New York who was killing the prostitutes, calling them, having them come to his home and then killing them while his wife and daughter were out of the house. I mean, there is always a story like that. And what you always find out is there's that story of the hidden life, right? Mm-hmm. Now, at its most tame, it is, Annie Schwartz, law firm litigation communications expert by day, huntress. Weekend huntress.
I love that.
By weekend.
Very soon.
But I want to know, at that time, mm-hmm. how on earth you ended up getting access and getting the information you did to really be the only show in town about Jeffrey Dahmer. I remember at that time, everybody tuning in to see what Annie Schwartz had on the Jeffrey Dahmer story, which as it broke was a massive scale, the size of Pompeii, hurricane, volcano, every time you went on the air with new information. And how did you come about that at that time? How were you able to get that information and bring it to folks when everybody else kind of was standing on the fringes of that story?
It starts by being curious. I loved the police beat. I still think it's the best beat in the newsroom. I loved it. I loved cop shows when I was very, very young, and I was fascinated by it. And what I did is I would ask the cops when I was covering the beat, I would say, hey, can I come on a ride along with you? Mm-hmm. Can I go to where the SWAT team got together and say, show me the weapons, show me what you're doing, teach me what things are for.
And that's like a normal thing you were allowed to go on there? what did that all intake?
Oh, absolutely. As a reporter back then, yes, that would never happen now. And then that only increased when I went to work there, when I went to work at the police department. Because there was always this curiosity. And the cops knew that. Absolutely, Ellie. I asked all the questions, and the cops loved that because what they saw wasn't just some reporter trying to get a story.
Right.
They saw somebody who had curiosity.
You develop relationships, and that is what it takes to be successful.
They don't do that anymore.
In every field, developing relationships is so much more important than the facts of the case. I always tell people, for an idea to become a law, it's 85% about relationships and 15% about the policy involved. And I think, Annie, you had the relationships that were founded in trust that allowed you to get at the information people wanted, and the police were okay with you sharing it, which was the most fascinating part, which leads me to ask you, what was the most surprising things that you saw or learned early on?
Oh, the entire case surprised me because I'm, Annie Schwartz, who went to, St. Mary's Elm Grove and then Divine Savior Holy Angels High School. So, where they still continue to invite me to career day and then say, what are you going to talk about? I mean, what do you think I'm going to talk about? I'm sorry it was not Harry Potter. It was Jeffrey Dahmer. So
sorry, not sorry.
But, one of the things that I thought was so curious was the fact that no matter what place in life people came from, no matter what their social status was, they would always say, when you brought up Dahmer, they would say, oh, that's disgusting. That's awful. Tell me more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that was always
Do
it,
you
no
have
matter
pictures?
Who they were. Yeah. Well, and yes. I have pictures on my phone, by the
Do
way.
You?
We can talk about
I know
that
what
later.
We're doing after.
That's really, that's a cocktail conversation, Danielle. That's really not, that's not suitable for anything with the video. That's one of the things, Joel, that surprised me.
Yeah.
There are so many others.
I cannot wait to keep asking you about them because learning about the mind of a serial killer, which you are now probably more than you ever cared to. Annie Schwartz, author of the book Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. I'm Joel Clayfish. Ellie Lawton is here. She's going to be our chef. Danielle Fairman's in the shotgun seat. We love having you on Raised in Wisco. Wisco Off the Rails Week. I think that's a good thing to call it, don't you?
Off the rails, I do.
My name's Joel Clayfish. We appreciate you having you along on Raised in Wisco. Our show airs on 21 civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. You can find us Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And if you miss it there, you can listen to the podcast after the show airs on all of your civic media sources, including Spotify. Danielle Fairman and I have been working together and hunting and fishing in the great outdoors of the state for nearly two decades. And
woo!
I love having you as a co-host, Danielle. You do a great job.
And I love having you as a friend. Look at me.
Oh,
I love watching you guys.
Should Ellie and I leave you guys alone?
Yeah, no. I mean, do you want to go get a drink or something?
Look at the pictures?
Yeah.
I got the photos.
Go get a mud wrap or something?
You simmer down over there because we're going to come to you for a recipe.
I'm so excited.
The end of the day, what is Raised in Wisco?
A cooking show.
A cooking show. Chef Ellie Lawton, the award-winning French culinarian, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, brings us fantastic recipes every week, helps you take forage and meat from the field to the table in a way that you can enjoy it easily. And we get to glom onto all her secrets and what she's learned in her classes and kitchens across the state and do it in our own kitchens. This week, I am so excited. Annie Schwartz is here. Annie and I were colleagues together all through our careers, really, in television news, in politics, in the state legislature, and in state politics. Now, she is the author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, the inspiration for television shows, the inspiration for movies, and no one had a closer look at the Jeffrey Dahmer investigations and trial than Annie Schwartz. I've said it. Annie was kind enough to take me along to the Jeffrey Dahmer trial. I sat 6 to 8 feet away from him next to Annie, and he did turn around and wink at us at one point.
I don't think he was winking at me, brother.
That was so smooth.
Ooh, I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or be creeped out.
So, Joel, when Annie asked you to go along, how did you,
yes.
What was your initial reaction?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I would too, but. Yeah.
I was interning at Channel 12 the summer before my senior year in college. And I had a fairly halfway decent sense for a young kid of who got their stuff done in the way that I aspired to do it. So I watched Annie as she worked and understood how she developed relationships, and I wanted to learn that.
Yeah.
So anytime Annie was willing to drag me along to anything, I went along willingly and learned quite a bit. It wasn't until about a year and a half later that I was hired by Channel 12 as an actual reporter, and then got to work with her and see her in action every day, which helped me become a much better reporter.
Oh, yes.
Learning her style and her watching her develop relationships, which is what it's really about to be a successful journalist, is all about relationships.
I helped Joel with those important tips that, you know, just you need a mentor to tell you in TV. Like, if you want to look better, if you want to look thinner, stand as close to the recently departed as you can, because then you don't look as bad on TV.
Logic.
I mean, these are the helpful tips.
Those are the things.
You'll never look pale next to a dead guy.
You know, how is that not on a t-shirt?
I don't know. Just
seems like 101 right there.
But you know what, Joel, you were talking about, we're talking about the book, and the book originally came out right after the trial in 92, the first book. But then it was reissued 30 years later, on the 30th anniversary, if we call it that. And I went back because I said to the publisher, I said, well, you know, it's not like there's been any progress in the case. The guy, you know, died about 16 months after he went to prison. And they said, we'd like you to go back and kind of do a where are they now? So that was really the fascinating part for me. When I went back, because I've had a minute to think about it. You asked me before about something that I didn't know or something that I found out while I was covering the case. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found out was how it really affected or didn't affect at all people who were principals in the case. So 30 years later, I went back to the detectives. I went back to Jeffrey Dahmer's father. I went back to the prosecutor, to his defense attorney. I went to people that, the medical examiner, went back to people that worked on the case and said, 30 years later, and we all kind of said the same thing, which was, of all the weird stuff in like the world, you know, for you to become famous for, this is, you know, this is it. It was just, it was so unlikely and so strange. And, you know, my poor father, oh, he felt like he wasted so much money on my education.
What?
Well, he didn't understand. He's like, you know, my God, I even sent you to finishing school, for God's sake. And you're right about the guy that ate the people. He's like, I don't understand. He really, poor Victor Schwartz died not understanding.
I'm sure he died very proud.
Very proud.
Your career and the continuing of your career is fascinating. And I think people are so fascinated by what you say because you had a very unique look into the investigations when they were happening. When Jeffrey Dahmer was caught, I don't think there was this massive doubt whether he'd be convicted or whether we'd... I think at that time, and tell me if I'm wrong or tell me what I'm missing, it was then a matter of how many people did he kill? Mm-hmm. How many people did he affect and how he affected the families? When you took a look at that, and then when you revisited it 30 years ago for the reissuance of the book, that must have been, is that tough on a person's soul? When you're talking to these people who lost it all 30 years ago when they lost a loved one in such a senseless way, but such a methodical way, such a precalculated way. Did that take a toll on you?
There must be this little black spot inside where my soul would be. But I don't know how to say this without sounding very dark and, you know,
and
stormy.
Do it.
But, it was always a story to me. It was a fascinating story.
Sure.
But you have that objective thing, Joel. Remember going to people's homes, but remember getting sent to knock on someone's door right after they lost a child as a television news reporter.
Yes.
And it was like, hi, I'm from Channel 12. Can I get a photo of your, you know, recently deceased son? it was awful. I mean, it was, you know, talk about just an awful job, but we were not even thinking about how awful it was. It was the job. Mm-hmm. And I think that what happens is you become inured to some of that information over time. That can be dangerous. We don't want that to happen to us, right?
I think in many cases you have to. Because you'd cry
every night.
You'd cry every night. And I think there are some who are in the media who do those type of stories who are incredibly affected by it mentally and emotionally. I think you have to be able to, and I think that happens in police who investigate crimes. I think it happens, with the units that investigate crimes against children in the Attorney General's office. If you were to actually absorb what you're learning on a daily basis in many of those professions, it would ruin you as a human being.
Absolutely.
When
you talk about those ICAC units, Internet Crimes Against Children units, when I worked at the Attorney General's office at DOJ, there are guys that can stay in there. But there is definitely a shelf life to how long you can do that work. It's important work. You're getting some really disgusting people off the street. But you have to, you know, you can only look at evidence so much before it consumes you.
The book is Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. Annie Schwartz, the writer of the book, the person who broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story. I want to ask you, what were some things you talked about? What can we learn in the book about how people changed from the original story to the follow-up story 30 years later? What were some things that surprised you, didn't surprise you, or that would surprise a reader?
What surprised me, and again, this is coming from my chair as somebody who spent over a decade working at the police department, and that is that people still refer to the incident with the young Laotian boy that was returned to Dahmer by the police as a police screw-up, and that is not accurate. And I have spent a lot of time talking about this case, and I am not I'm not an apologist for the police, but I just understand that in 1991, there's no cell phones. Well, we had the big brick in the newsroom that nobody ever remembered to charge.
So I
remember bringing that thing out with me.
We stopped at payphones.
Yeah.
As early reporters, we stopped at payphones.
Yeah, lucky I still have an ear after some of these phones. I'm trying to figure out the best way to, you know, to say it, but I think that what surprised me the most is the fact that people still continue some old tropes, that this was a racially motivated crime. It was not. Jeffrey Dahmer killed the men he was attracted to. He was attracted to dark-skinned males. He was attracted to men that were really built up. That was what he was attracted to. He wasn't to say he was a racist is to miss the point of the story. And again, I'm not apologizing for him or defending him in any way, but I think that's something that has always been misunderstood, is that the idea that all of these men were being killed and nobody cared because they were gay or they were African American is not accurate. Who knew people were missing? So many of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims were living secret lives. Nobody knew anything about their lives. A lot of times when the police found their families and went to notify them of their loved one's death, they're like, no, my son wasn't gay. No way.
Sure.
So people were living. I mean, it was Milwaukee in the 80s, right?
Right.
So it's a different place. You can't use the the standards and the things that we know present day to judge what happened back then, because none of these things existed. So I always thought that that was that always frustrated me. It continues to frustrate me when people say that the police were somehow at fault for not knowing that this guy was a serial killer, because on the Sam Brown belt, you don't carry a magic eight ball. They could not see into the future that this guy was something they had never encountered before.
So with this book, A Monster, the True Story of Jeffrey Dahmer Murders, what can the listeners hear that's not in the story?
Oh, boy. You know, I left very little on the table. I want to bring it back to food for you, Ellie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I left very little, you know, on the table. I pretty much told everything. There is some really dark humor that, you know, that I share when we have beverages and, you know, we're one-on-one or, you know, when we're not doing a recording that will come back to haunt me if I ever become extraordinarily famous. So, you know, I really did tell the whole story. And I think that for some people, it was a little more palatable. Again, I did that for you, Ellie.
Thank you.
To read it rather than when people tried to watch it on Netflix, for example, people were just like, oh my God, I couldn't even get through it. You know, the book is something you can read a little bit of. Okay, now I got to put this down. This is disturbing. The book is also written in the first person. I wrote it, which I didn't really want to do. I was
I think that's a great and that's what they wanted. What you were learning at the times you learned it, and will really help folks feel like they're a part of it and discovering it with you in the book. And that's what's so fantastic. Monster is the book. It is the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. Annie Schwartz, award-winning journalist, author, all-around great gal, and a friend of mine, I'm very proud to say. Raised in Wisco, you never know what's going to come at you, but we always, one thing you do know is we always talk about food. Chef Lawton is going to be bringing us this week's recipe. We're going to talk about that, and it might get dark because Annie Schwartz is going to stick around on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Man, I'll tell you what, if you have missed any minute of this Raised in Wisco, make sure you get on Spotify or look up Civic Media and listen to this edition of Raised in Wisco. I'm the host, Joel Clayfish. My co-host, Danielle Fairman, is along. And of course, Chef Ellie Lawton is here. But we have got Annie Schwartz, the author of Monster, the True Story of the Jeffrey Dahmer Murders. She and I have been friends for 3 decades. She's an award-winning journalist and published a fantastic chronicling of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, which I think hits the curiosity bone of every American, but particularly of Wisconsinites. And one of the interests we share is the interests we bring to you every week, and that is culinary interests, because we love talking about cooking and eating here on Raised in Wisco. I did my best. I did my best, Annie.
Could there really have been one?
Yes. And it still might be too soon to make a joke.
Oh, about it's the, forever.
About the segue.
Well, I was going to talk about cannibal sandwiches.
No. There it is.
Yes, it do is. It. perfect.
Nope, she
mincemeat pie.
Just here's the line. Chef Lawton just crossed.
Oh, yeah. I pushed her.
I'm really good at doing that.
Evidently.
Draw a line
are.
And I'll jump it every time.
Every time.
Well, one of the things that has brought Annie Schwartz and me together of late is her new interest in hunting and fishing in Wisconsin and eating what she catches and kills. We want to give a shout out to Sarah Engel, the founder of the group, the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association. Annie yes. Schwartz is going to be joining that.
Our newest member.
Right? They have no idea what's coming.
I'm excited.
I am a member. By the way, I'm an ad hoc member of the group. You do not have to be a woman to
you
be
do
a
not.
Member of the Women's
yep,
Hunting and
Sporting blend. Association. You blend. It's good.
I blend.
Yeah, you
I
fit
blend.
In well.
I don't know why they keep calling me Karen in the group, but
ooh,
they don't,
Jolene.
Danielle, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're Jolene.
You're Jolene.
I'm Jolene.
You're Jolene.
That's fine. Chef Lawton is along, and I want to know what we're going to be talking about this week
so,
as far as culinary delights.
We are going to be talking about a couple different things. We've been talking about foraging the last couple weeks because we are in the prime time. If you are a forager in Wisconsin, we are living large right now. There is so much out there to grab, take home, and put on your dinner table. So today, we're going to bring a little flowery goodness to the show and talk about our lovely flowers, the lilacs.
Edible flowers. You can eat lilacs?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Annie, did you know you could eat lilacs?
I was today years old, Joel.
Today years old.
Danielle, did you know that?
I had no idea.
Wow, I love the way they
I
smell.
I love the same thing. So, and you can get just a really little
just a
bunch.
Little bit.
Oh, you think about dandelions? What the last time
well,
she talked
we
about it?
Well, we did dandelions
yeah,
a couple
we did.
Weeks
we
ago,
ate dandelions
which are
a couple
delicious.
Weeks ago. They,
so,
they were delicious.
The lilacs, really simple recipe. This is going to be a beverage, and you can turn it into an adult ooh. Beverage, a kid beverage. Annie got really excited there for a second.
Beverage.
Can add whiskey to it and
you
drink
can,
it at a horse race.
You can do whatever you want to do with it. So, very basic. You're going to pick about 2 to 3 little sprigs of lilacs. You don't want the green part. You just want the flowers, okay? And we, for the most part, everyone knows what it smells like. You don't need a ton to get a fabulous lilac flavor into this lilac lemonade. So you're going to take a large pitcher of ice, basically, put about 8 or 9 cups of water in it, 1 cup of sugar. You're going to juice 5 to 6 lemons in that pitcher, and then you're going to put in the lilac flowers. You can press them in between your hands a little bit before you throw them in to kind of release more of the fragrance, or you can just put them in, stir it, let it sit for a little bit, and you have a delicious beverage that's super easy to make.
I'm guessing that lilacs probably, I mean, it's. I'm starting to see more and more lavender being
yes.
used in cooking.
So oh,
I'm
exactly.
guessing it kind of comes
yes.
to the
all
same
the
place,
time.
Right?
I love lavender.
Yeah, Danielle and I both use a lot of lavender, and the lilac is just going to be a little bit more of an intense flavor. It's so good. And you can also add rosemary to it. Kind of bring a little herby, you know.
I'm picturing earthy. Tea right now.
Yeah,
I want to do some sun tea.
You can do
with this.
Lilac tea. I've also used lilacs in salad.
Oh,
and
that
then,
sounds fantastic.
I need
to
it.
Go,
I need it right
to
now.
To go with our lilac lemonade, we're going to talk about wild boar loin tonight too.
Perfect.
And yes, so this is also very simple. So Annie, when you come over to my house next month, we're going to pull one out and make it, okay?
I am so excited. I went to college very briefly for a semester in Spain, and the guanciale there, which is the
yeah.
which is wild boar,
yes.
is the best anywhere. And I've never, when they put that in a meat sauce,
yeah.
there is nothing like it.
It's so good.
Nothing
I
like
love
it.
It.
So to keep in line with our foraging, I picked some rhubarb. So I made a cranberry rhubarb chutney to go on top of this pork loin that I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
So this is a chutney is just a fancy word for a thicker, chunkier jam. All right. You can make it with fruit. You can make it with vegetables. It's great to put on top of meat, salads, all sorts of stuff, anything that you want to jam on, basically. So this is, Joel, go ahead.
I'm
what
just
do you got?
Waiting here. I'm so excited. I think my mouth is hanging on the ground. And
are you
I'm,
drooling on your microphone?
I'm drooling a little bit. So I just want to keep going. Keep going.
So the chutney is very simple. You can use balsamic and red wine vinegar and some honey. Put it in your cast iron skillet. Always a fan of cast iron. With your rhubarb and some dried cranberries, you can rehydrate those. So when I say rehydrate, just put them in a bowl with hot water. Let them sit for about 15, 20 minutes to get kind of juicy and good again. So then you're going to put that in your cast iron pan and you're going to add a little bit of water and let that reduce down until it kind of starts to not form a jam, but just soften and jive together. That's your chutney. Turn the burner off, pull out your pork loin, salt, pepper your pork loin, butter in your cast iron pan, sear the pork loin, and then you're going to throw that puppy into the oven for about 15, 20 minutes at 425.
Oh.
And then you're going to pull it out, put can that chutney over the top.
Danielle, we did go.
I need to
Danielle
go get
shot
another one.
An actual Russian wild boar
I
in did. Florida.
Wow.
I did.
Danielle, we are so need to be friends.
Wait, we're not at home.
Well, we have more friends. More friendly.
Oh, hey, like, girl.
Hi.
Okay, but the last time she got a boar, she brought it home and she ate all of the meat within 2 weeks. So we were
not
all
even
pretty
weeks.
Bummed out about it.
We're going to have to get, we got Gator Gals trip this year that we're going to go back and get some more hogs.
We're going
to
have some lilac lemonade and some pork loin.
And I want a chaperone. I want to come along as a chaperone. And the storyteller.
No. You're going to be summer.
Every hunt,
you're
going to
have a gun in your hand.
Yeah.
You're going to have a gun in your hand and go hunting with us. I'm telling you, folks, if you listen to Raised in Wisco, you will be blown away every time listen, because you never know what we're going to talk about today. The world famous author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, Annie Schwartz. We talked about great food at the end, like we always do. Danielle Fairman's next to me, Chef Ellie Lawton, Annie Schwartz. I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.